are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which comes from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way. Trust that you'll stay with us and that the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today. Our Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for the privilege of presenting this and other broadcast service. We're thankful for our precious congregation. We know that you love each one of them, and you know their needs. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll make this broadcast service a blessing, an encouragement to precious souls. If there be those listening who do not know thee, we pray that through your love, through your word, through your spirit, you'll be able to draw souls to Christ. So take us and take this broadcast and make it a blessing to this precious people today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reaching high.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Why Do Christians Suffer? And our text of Scripture is taken out of 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and the 12th verse. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. I firmly believe that the Christian life is the only life that is really worth living, and certainly it is the only life that will bring eternal rewards. A Christian is one who is endeavoring to live in obedience to the Word of God. And since this is true, why do Christians suffer? Why should Christians have to suffer? Well, suffering is a part of the reality of life. And in the world in which we live, there is much suffering. I'd like for you to look at some Bible characters with me, see if we can learn some things from what they suffered. First of all, Abel. We read of this man Abel in the book of Genesis, of course. He was one of Adam and Eve's sons. And he had a brother by the name of Cain. And Abel and Cain brought an offering to the Lord. And the Lord accepted Abel's offering because, as we are told in Hebrews 11 and 4, he was a righteous man. And his offering was accepted by God. But Cain brought his offering, and it was rejected. And he rose up and slew his brother. Then we read of the man Abraham, who left his homeland, friends and all, behind because God had called him to go into another land. And yet we find that God called upon Abraham to offer possibly the most precious possession that he had, and that was his son Isaac. And then we read of Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob, how that his brothers hated him and sold him to the Midianites, who took him down to Egypt, and there he was sold into slavery in Potiphar's home. And if you are familiar with this story, you know, Potiphar's wife endeavored to seduce him, and he refused and was falsely accused and put in prison, although Joseph was a godly man. And then we read of the man Daniel, who was faithful to a number of kings, and who conducted himself in an honorable way. Men could not find fault with him, so they planned to get the king to have him thrown in the lion's den, and they did so by lying to the king, and he was thrown in the lion's den. And then we read of the man Job. When we think about suffering, many times our mind naturally turns to the man Job. And this man was a perfect man in God's sight. He was a godly man doing what was right. And yet he suffered much, with boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And then we read of the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest warriors of the Christian faith. And yet, he suffered much. We read in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians how he enumerates there many of the things that he suffered for the cause of Christ. Now, I'll take time to read some of these things that Paul mentioned here. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches. So the Apostle Paul suffered many things, and finally we understand that he was beheaded in the city of Rome. And then we think about John, the forerunner of Christ, a man who filled a very, very important position in the plan of Almighty God. He was the Elijah that was to come. Yes, he was the Elijah that was to come. And yet, he too was beheaded. And then we think about the man Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, a man who did great wonders and miracles among the people. And yet he was taken out of the city of Jerusalem and stoned to death. And then, of course, we think about Jesus himself, who suffered much of the people and then was crucified on the cross. And then we read about a man who at that moment was not a disciple, but he became a disciple of Christ, who was born blind, and he lived for years in that state. Why? Why did he have to suffer such? Well, why do Christians suffer? First of all, because we live in a fallen world where sin reigns. And let me repeat that, because we live in a fallen world where sin reigns. Now, let's go back and look at some of these that I have mentioned. Abel was a true worshiper of God, and his offering was acceptable to God. Cain, who evidently had what we would today call a mere profession of religion, he brought his offering also, but his offering was rejected. It was not because it was of the field, because that's what he was. He grew stuff, and he brought what he had. So that was not the reason his offering was rejected. It was simply because he was not sincere. And the scriptures tell us in the book of Genesis why his offering was rejected. Because sin lieth at the door. And God would not accept it because Cain was not living a sincere, godly life. And then in regard to Abraham, Abraham left his homeland and he traveled into a land. When he left, he didn't even know where he was going, but he knew that God was leading him. And by faith, he went out, not knowing where he was going. And he manifested great faith in God again and again. And yet, after waiting for 25 years for the fulfillment of the promise that he would have seed by Sarah, after that child was born a few years later, God asked him to go into the land of Moriah and there to offer his son a sacrifice. And I know, because I too am a father, this was not easy for Abraham to do. Why was he called upon to do this? That he might show his love to Almighty God. This is brought out in the scriptures because God said to Abraham, "Now I know that thou wilt not withhold even thine only son from me." So God tested Abraham and proved his love. Abraham showed by his willingness to obey God that he loved God supremely. He loved God above all others and above all other things. And of course, if you're familiar with this story, you know that God did not actually require Abraham to go through with the sacrifice, but he proved to God that his love was so great that he was willing to do it. Now, in regard to Joseph, this young man, and I know some Bible scholars or teachers want you to believe that he was some egotistical, stuck-up young man, but I do not accept that kind of reasoning in regard to Joseph. I see in Joseph a man of character, a man who was endeavoring and did live righteous, and yet he was hated by his brothers and was sold into Egypt, and then, later on, lied upon and put in prison. But God brought him out and made him prime minister there in the land of Egypt. And if you're familiar with this story, you know how that Jacob sent his sons into Egypt to get food and feed for the cattle, and Joseph eventually revealed himself to them. And he told them that there were still a number of years of famine to come, and that they should bring his father Joseph, or Jacob, and the rest of the family into the land of Egypt. And there Jacob died. They took him back to Hebron to bury him. And then whenever they returned to Egypt, the brothers were afraid that Jacob or Joseph would take out his vengeance upon them. And they came to him, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before him, before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now notice what Joseph said to his brethren. And what a beautiful, what we today would say a beautiful Christian character, a beautiful Christian attitude. He did not hold vengeance or malice in his heart towards, rather he saw the hand of God in this. And he did not do any evil to them. He held no malice toward them. He indeed had a forgiving spirit and a forgiving attitude towards them. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." And that is a beautiful example that we should accept and follow today. Now, in regard to Daniel, he was very faithful in his service to a number of kings. Yet there were those who were jealous of him. Other presidents that were under him were jealous of him, and they schemed how that they might destroy this man. As far as his business, as far as his duties, they could find no fault in him. And they said, "The only way we're going to find anything is between him and his God." And so they had the king to sign a decree that no one should pray to any god or make any petition of any man except the king for 30 days. Otherwise, he would be thrown in prison. But Daniel had the habit of praying 3 times a day, and he continued his prayer life just as he did before. Because of the jealousy of these men, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. But God brought him out. Yes, God brought him out. And through this test, through this suffering of Daniel, God was glorified. Now, in regard to the man Job, we refer to this man often as the man of sorrows or the man of suffering. But there was a definite reason why that Job suffered. I don't think Job knew the reason at that present moment, but I do believe that he came to understand later on why he suffered the way he did. In the book of Job, in chapter 1, we read here in verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth God, or doth Job, fear God for naught or nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge around him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance increaseth in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon him put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and he took Job's cattle, he took his family, his children, and all that he had in a material way, and yet Job did not curse God as Satan said he would, but he said, Blessed be the name of the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then we read further on here in the book of Job, how that again the Lord said to old Satan about Job, And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth and escheweth evil, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. First of all, Satan was accusing Job of serving God only for the material blessings, and Job proved him to be a liar. Now he's saying, well, you know, a man, he'll give anything to save his own neck, as it were. You just touch him. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is thine in thine hand, but save his life. And so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Even his wife came out and said, Do you retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? And he said, Woman, you speak like one of the foolish women. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God got great glory out of Job, not out of his suffering, but out of his faithfulness, out of his love, and out of his devotion. Now, in regard to the Apostle Paul, there were a number of reasons why the Apostle Paul suffered. First of all, because of his firm stand for the truth. But there was another reason why Paul suffered some things. And we read about this in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So one of the reasons the Apostle Paul was permitted to suffer was to keep him humble. Yes, to keep him humble. And, of course, he suffered much because of his firm stand for the truth. Now, in regard to John, the forerunner of Christ, he was beheaded because he dared to tell King Herod the truth. Herod had married a woman that he had no right to marry, and John told him so. And the woman he married, it was infuriated, and whenever her daughter danced and pleased Herod and he offered her such great reward, she went to her mother and asked, What shall I ask for? And her mother said, You ask for John the Baptist's head in a charger. And that's exactly what she got. Yes, John was beheaded. Now, Stephen was another one who told the people the truth, and it angered the people because he told them the truth. They could not deny, they could not contradict what he was saying. They even stuck their fingers in their ears, though they saw him and his face glowed like the face of an angel, still because of their fury against the truth and against the truth that Stephen was telling them. They took him out and they stoned him to death. Now, there's another reason why Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior, had to suffer. The Scriptures tell us that he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Yes, he had to suffer and die on the cross to redeem us from our sins. But during his lifetime, he also suffered, and we are told that he learned obedience through the things which he suffered, and we can do the very same thing. We sometimes suffer because of God's discipline. Yes, there's times we suffer because of God's disciplines. And suffering helps us build a close relationship with the Lord, if we go through it, as we should. Now, there are many other reasons, which we do not have time to go in today, but God always allows trials and tests to come our way for our good and not for our ill. Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It would be an encouragement to us if you would take time to write and let us know that you appreciate our broadcast. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Now, this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
I walk with my Savior each hour of the day. I walk in His presence each step of the way. Depending on me, for He is my Savior, my Lord and my King. Forever I'll love Him, His praises I sing. Till low in the valley, my life shall grow dim. My Lord walks Depending on